lovely. There's something in our hearts calling out, and you know, he's waiting to hear those things from us outside of a worship service in our homes. When we wake up in the morning, when we go about our day. Because when you say those words, it's a love affair. Since the beginning, Genesis 1, he's just wanted a people that will love him above everything. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might. Is he looking for a people now, even in us, in our frailties and weaknesses, love me, Christian. Let's sing it one more time. Heavenly Father, oh, we love you, Lord, and we see a little bit more of your love to us. And when we see your love to us, it makes you love us, makes us love you back more. Father, keep working that out in us, would you please? So that our life here is not rules or do's and don'ts or so far beyond that. A bride with her bridegroom, it's a love affair. And everything they both do, him for her, she for him. It isn't because she has to. It isn't because she's told to be something. She does it because it's in her. Just like it's he does what he does because it's him. It's part of his nature to us. Oh, Lord, let these things that we talk about become a reality, living. Granted, Father. Now you be glorified even tonight. Get me out of your way, Father. Do what you want. Say what you want. For all of the listeners too, Lord, take your place. Have the preeminence. Precious Father, precious Lord, thank you for all that you are for us, to us, in us. How can we ever thank you enough? Now bless us, Father, would you, with your presence. Let each one know you are there to meet with them. Each one, where they're at, no matter what age, what the needs are. It's your love expressed to each one. May we hear your voice that calls us deeper and further into you, Father. Lord, we ask all of these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Lovely. Everything. The music, the specials, everything. God bless you all. You're all precious in His sight and mine too. Yeah. I have a lot of scripture to go into tonight, and I don't know how far I'll get because it's communion, but we'll take one step at a time. How's that? I was listening to a message today, such a lovely message, Countdown 1964. When's the last time you listened to that one? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, and you know, he's talking about how the world in the natural types, the spiritual, and he's talking about the progress in science. Well, you know, seven church ages, and they had to go through the dark ages because the seed had to fall on the ground and die. But here it came Luther along, and he says, well, that might have been about horse and buggy days, you know, and things started to move a little bit. And then along came Wesley, and maybe with the advance a little bit, maybe electricity, things like that. And he says, you notice the farther people started moving, the farther the spirit started moving. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So, and then, you know, he's talking about Pentecost, and they're still stuck in tongues. And he says, but listen, this is the astronaut age, taking us into heavenly places, taking us where the word is becoming out of this dimension into his. You know, it's just so beautiful. But he keeps talking about the spacecraft. Well, it's in this message that there's a quote that is anchoring me to everything that I'm facing right now in my study. And, well, let me finish this. I was reflecting on what he was saying, and he was talking about the space age, okay? So stop and think about it, you guys. When Mary and I were in high school, how old were we? Ron and Pam, Linnell. Remember the Sputnik days, Lenore? How old were we then? You know, junior high, teenagers, somewhere in there, yeah. And here was, and they started it. I know in Rapid City where we live, they started selling Sputnik donuts, and everything was Sputnik, you know, because that was a big deal. So man goes into outer space. Well, out in the Black Hills, we managed a motel up there, and very close to that motel was this scientific natural bowl in the earth down in a deep valley called the Strata Bowl. Well, it was a big deal because National Geographic and the science, they released this. Do you guys remember seeing this? The balloon? And the balloon was this great big huge scientific thing, and it had a ball with a scientist in it, and it was the first time it's called it. Took him clear up into the stratosphere. That was huge back in those days. So think of what science is getting higher and higher. Well, look at where the Bride of Christ is getting. Okay? Look at how that parallels that. So I'm thinking, okay, I think the stratosphere, you can go find in ancient National Geographic's pictures of that. And I think that it might have gone back in 40s or even 50s, early 50s, early 40s. So then they're just going up. Then the Sputnik comes and they come up. And is that when they started orbiting? Was with the Sputnik, or was that just a rocket into space? Anybody remember? It was orbiting. Okay, so they got something into orbit. So then You know, and I know people have different opinions. They say they went to the moon. We don't know if they did or didn't. The prophet said, what are they going to find when they get there? They never did. So, so here they're trying to get something and hit a target. And the target they're trying to hit in is the white side of the moon, right? Yeah. Now, I think about this. So, that's a pretty big target. Now, do you remember how important it was for Brother Branham in his target practice and his shooting? He had to hit a track at how many yards? 50 yards. Good grief. Can you imagine that, you guys? Okay, and I remember the stories. Remember, he'd go squirrel hunting with Charlie Cox. And his Charlie Cox had a couple sons, or maybe more, I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, they would go to all this pile of dead squirrels and skin them and getting ready to cook them and everything. And Brother Branham noticed them. Oh, that one's no good. Oh, that one's no good. Oh, that one's... And he kept looking at him. He said, well, those are the ones I shot. What's not good about them? He said, Brother Branham, you hit him right in the eyeball every single time. Think of that. It was so important because that was a sign from the Spirit of God to him how accurate he was on the word. Yeah. And he couldn't stand being missing it even a hair breadth, right? Yeah. Okay. So here, look at the progression. Going up, they got a space station. Now they got a vehicle, a spacecraft. Here's something, the space station is traveling how fast, Nate? It's close to 17,000 miles an hour in orbit. And here this comes and they dock perfectly. Now that's getting pretty finite, isn't it? Okay. Now, we've seen it on the news. I'm sure you've all seen it. Here, Elon Musk sends a spacecraft up and it comes back. And it just doesn't land in the Indian Ocean or the Atlantic or the Pacific. It doesn't land on, it lands perfectly exactly where it came from. See what's going on?
Amen.
Sorry. Type of the spiritual. That's what Brother Branham says. Right? And look at how accurate it is becoming. Do you see where God is leading his children? We used to have broad ideas. What is the message? Oh, God sent a prophet. Oh, here's some rules. Look at how the Spirit has over the years taken us from generalizations and rules and do's and don'ts into a relationship. Oh, the seals are open. Oh, what does that mean? Well, you know, there was a white horse rider. Well, what all of a sudden now? I don't know about you guys, but I listen to a lot of my messages on YouTube. There's tons of the prophet's messages there. And I'll sit there and then a lot of message ministries come up. And so I'm noticing all of a sudden what the Spirit is doing. And all of a sudden you hear sermon after sermon after sermon. Let's talk about the seals. Oh, let's talk about the seventh seal. Oh, let's talk about, you know, God opening this. Oh, hey, God just showed in us more and more coming fine-tuned and accurate all the time. And you see how that natural really does type what's going on in the Spirit. It's amazing to me. That was sort of exciting to me today. That was a wonderful thing. Okay, yeah, we're getting more accurate. Well, there's still some ways to go. I don't know if, again, I get notifications from certain people in certain groups. About, did anybody see something on YouTube that had an address to the Bride of Christ and then the word kaboom was written right across the front of it? I'm glad you didn't see it. Okay. It was, we're lowering the what? Yeah, that. And there's this one group of people, that's all I'm going to say, is they're building walls and drawing lines in the sand more all the time. And in their lines, they're saying, we're in and you're out. And it breaks my heart. What would Brother Branham say about that? Right. How many times do you hear him talk about fellowship? And he was against anything that divided or separated fellowship or, brotherhood, right? And then you see attitudes of people. You can't fellowship with people who think different or see different. And over the years, I've confronted some people. Yes, I can. Because they will label you as a compromiser. And they will think you compromise simply by talking to somebody who doesn't think like they do. So ask this question. Really? Well, was Jesus a compromiser? Huh? Do you think for one second the prophet of this day was a compromiser? Did he not open up fellowship to whoever he could, wherever he could? What is the thing that's going on? So I'm just watching these things, and this is sort of things that we were looking at when we were on our last mission trip. But one of the first services there, I said, now look, how many people here, yeah, we could go down the row here. Karen Linnell, let's talk about the message. And Lenore, just you three, I'll pick on you. Let's talk about the message. Would you agree on everything? Okay, Karen, how about you and Greg? Would you agree on everything? None of us do. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm saying this is the human condition right now. So what I asked, I said, okay, if Steve looks at the message, Stephen, and David looks at the message, and Ron looks at the message, we're going to see some different things. Different things will pop out to us that don't pop out to the others, and others will say, no, this is more important than that's important, and let's focus on this more than that because of where we are, each one. So I said, okay, if you're disagreeing with each other on these things, where's the mind of Christ? Do you know what that's showing in all of us? None of us have it yet. Because when we'll have it, we'll all have his mind and we'll have that same thoughts. So every time we are here as humans, we have to realize with each other, none of us are there yet. Okay? And there's this thing that's going on in the Spirit of the Lord trying to get us there. I believe he will. Prophet said we would. We would have the mind of Christ. I got some quotes on that. But as long as we realize we're all a work in progress, we need to have that place where, come to that place where we're patient with one another. And so is this thing of where am I? I came to a realization a long years ago, just looking at myself in the mirror of the Word, it's frightening. Because I say, what hope do I have of getting everything right? David, what hope do you have of getting everything right? Not one of us. Could you study yourself into it? Okay. So one word off caused what? Everything. Everything. Okay. Marianne, do you have one word off? You see what I'm saying? Unless there's grace given to me, I have no hope. There's no way I can get 100% word on unless it's 100% by His grace. Lord, you think you could ever study yourself into it? Could you pray yourself, Bethany, enough into it? Do you see where we stand? One word off caused everything. So if He's bringing us back to a perfect word and everybody in that, no wonder, this is where the message I'm going to be heading into quite a bit. The law and Moses couldn't abide at the same time. Joshua is the one that taketh sin and law. As long as there's any law, grace can't work. So that's why, how many months ago when we listened to Brother Alistair on, we have to cast out the bondwoman and her son. We like rules. We like to bring the law back into us. And we feel comfortable when we do, but we have to say, I'm going to go to a place where it's uncomfortable and depend totally on the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah. So these are the things that are so interesting. We need Him more than ever. And isn't that interesting? We're farther than we've ever been. And at the same time, we're more needy than we've ever been. And can both of those go together? They sure can, and they sure do, okay? All right. With that in mind, would you stand with me, and we're going to read a text, quite a few verses here, but it's in Ephesians chapter 4, because that's directly pertaining to what we've been talking about here. Paul to the Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Now, the Greek word there is the calling. In other words, walk worthy of the calling wherein you are called. We are the called out. So God called you to Him. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given what? According to the, of the, it's a gift. Okay. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, excuse me, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might do what? Isn't that beautiful there, brothers and sisters? Huh? And I'm a thing he needs to fill. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, finished man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. So here we are, and we're getting more accurate. We're getting farther along, but we still have divisions and lines drawn in the sand and people arguing because we all don't think the same because we all don't have his mind. So here, we're looking at these verses. I think it's time not only to read these, but to hear the spirit of the word concerning them. Why did he write this? To whom did he write it? Now, he wrote this to the Ephesians. Now, what do you remember about the book of Ephesians according to the prophet? compared to the book of Corinthians. Corinthians were an immature people, and he called Corinthians the book of, but he said the Ephesians were different because he could teach them something. So on in different places of his ministry, even Paradox, 1965, he says, no, there has to be an Ephesians. He keeps calling it an Ephesians where we are at right now. And he says, what is Ephesians? It's Joshua of the Old Testament, right? So what did Joshua do? He took them into the promised land, into their inheritance. Not just take it there, but he took them to a place where they did inherit. And that's exactly where we have to be. So what I want you to get here is that he's writing this to mature people. Okay? So you could say that he's sort of writing to them like the Spirit might say, okay, message people, I'm going to write you a letter. You've come a long ways. You're in the astronaut age. It's getting more accurate all the time, and look at how far you've come. However, look at how he starts. What's the first sentence? I, therefore, what? There you go. Paul, a prisoner. So what you have here is kingdom, kingdom life. And that's what we've been focusing on for so long, and we're going to focus on tonight as we move on. Here is a kingdom. And there, in order to be a kingdom, it only takes two. One king and one subject. You're in the kingdom. But you cannot be in that kingdom unless you are truly subject to the king. True? So here he's writing that because of his position, because he calls himself a prisoner of the Lord, because he says, I am subject to my Lord, I am subject to my King, I can go on and say the rest of these things with weight. Because my experience with God, knowing that I have to be these things myself, I can say, come on, you guys, this is what the Spirit, in calling me into his kingdom, says, I have to walk this way, and so do you. Even though you are farther advanced than the Corinthians, even though it is a book of entering in, even though you are more mature, you're not there yet. So there are certain things that you have to remember. Okay, so again, I would love, I think, if the Holy Spirit would just say this, write a message to the message people around the world right now. I think this is what he would say. We need to hear the Spirit of the Word. We need to embrace it. And here we see him addressing a people that still need to stay humble before God. There's no room for pride. There's no room for I know it all. It's no room for I'm the one who has all the answers. We're all a work in progress. So here is this wonderful thing, and here's what he's telling us. Stay humble before God. And I always want you to remember that you are yet to become that completed work of God. It's because verse 13 is so important for us till we all come. Now, okay? Now look at his confidence. Look at what he's telling the people. What did he just say there, Stephen? Read that. Till what? Till what? No, just those first few words. Okay. Now, that's a great big statement of love and faith, isn't it? Till some of you come, till you might come, but he's saying, you know what? God's going to work in us, and we're all going to come. Yeah. Don't you love that? Yeah. Huh? Till we all come. There you go. Don't you think that's lacking? Don't you think that's what we need? F- faith for each other. Love it. Till we all come to the what? What's that word unity mean? Oneness? Oneness of what? Faith. What is faith? Brother. So, David, I get to pick on everybody tonight. How many revelations are there from God? No, there's one. I'm nasty, aren't I? Because you could be perfectly right, too. David's right, everybody. David is right. Yeah. David, you were perfectly right. So we all come to the unity of the. It says the, not many. It says the faith or the, we all come to the oneness of one revelation. Okay, so we have that in this day. Yes? So
we all come to the same place God was at when he founded the world by faith.
Oh, wow. You know, Derek, I just love your head. Yeah, I don't know about the rest of you. He's always comes to me with these things that... That was good, though. Okay, so there's one revelation, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And it's not my revelation, and it's not your revelation. It's his that he gives out. That's my point here. Okay, so again, let's go back to where we started from. So ministers, let's argue about doctrines, let's argue about this, let's argue about that. We're all showing we aren't there yet. Okay? So if I'm talking with Josh and he's getting ready for Sunday school and he brings something up, that, oh, Josh, no, that's not right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, Hoffman, shut up. We need to have faith for one another. We need to know that we're all not there yet, but that's where he wants to bring us, till we all have the unity of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, and that's where my burden is for the message. I thought, oh, Lord, why do we have to build walls? Aren't we past that? Shouldn't we try to? Now, you know, the Bible says as much as possible, live at peace. Right? Okay, sometimes you really try and you haven't found it possible yet. Because that's in your trying. But that's not in his. So don't ever give up on anybody, right? Always try to have faith that God will do his work. And any morning when you wake up and say, Lord, have mercy on me, and you go about your day and someone drives you crazy, you remember, I just asked for mercy, and I'm not giving it. That's scary. Okay, because upon the merciful, I will have
mercy.
Yeah. All right? So if you want, with judge, what judgment I give is what judgment I will receive. How do I want to meet God? Do I want to meet him? Okay, you were so judgmental. All you did was find faults and complain and pits and okay. Then that's the way he's going to meet me. True or not? Mm-hmm. And unto the merciful he shall find mercy. So here is all this thing. Paul. In the kingdom of God, knowing what it's like to be a subject to God, know that he has to walk in before God in lowliness. He says to me and to you, you do this. You walk in the way that you are. He called you to walk. Verse 2. With all what? There you go. What's the next word? What does meekness mean? Totally dependent on God. I loved it. It was the old table where they had TWOT and all the translations. They had this wonderful thing on the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek is a meek person is that totally dependent on God. They don't fight for themselves. They come up against their enemies and say, I'm not going to fight. God's going to fight. I'm totally dependent on him to stand for me. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? So when Moses, I keep going back to Numbers. I think it's chapter 12, isn't it? Meekest man in all the earth. He's not bragging. He isn't. Do you know what he's saying? He said, of all the people on earth, here I am, and I'm in this position, but nobody's more dependent on God than me. Isn't that a beautiful statement? You can't find anybody more dependent on God than I am. What a statement to make. Okay, and didn't he have to bring the prophet there? Doesn't he have to bring me and you there? So here is Paul saying, be like that. Because Paul, in all of his arrogance and pride, saying, hey, I got this right, coming to meet God face to face, said I didn't have anything right. What an eye-opener, right? Okay. So he had to learn, I thought I had it together and I had nothing together. I thought I was right and I was all wrong. Okay, so God had to take him out to the desert and take everything out of him and put himself into him. That's why he can write these words. He's writing these words because this is his experience of his walk with God. Make sense? So message believers of this day, even though we are getting higher, even though we are getting more accurate, according to what science is doing, countdown message, remember, walk worthy of the calling. And my worthy walking is keeping my place totally dependent on God. Lowliness, meekness. What's the next word? Okay. Long-suffering. Don't you love that one? Uh-huh. Wouldn't you love to see long-suffering in your kids with each other? Uh-huh. Long-suffering. Nate, what does long-suffering mean in the body of Christ? Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I was thinking about breaking it up into two words, suffering.
Excellent. So here's the next question. What in each other makes us suffer long? He's acknowledging the humanness in all of us. And you know what? God will put somebody next to you that bugs you to pieces, okay, that rubs you the wrong way, that doesn't see things like you see things. Why can't they see like I see? Because obviously what I see is right. Isn't that the human condition? Doesn't the scripture say every man is right in their own eyes? Who's more logical of the way you see life than you? And who's the oddball that doesn't see like you see?
Everybody.
Right? Yeah. So here is this thing that he's saying, you have to get over your humanness and get into this where the Spirit of Christ can have his way. Okay? Okay. So verse 2 again, with all lowliness and meekness and what? Long-suffering. What's the next one? Forbearing one another, what? Pam, describe that for us. How do you forbear? Stephen has an answer.
It's to hold up, to hold someone erect and firm, to sustain, to bear, to endure.
Now explain that with your brothers and sisters around you here.
Put that into action in your life. Derek, that's very good.
When they're at their worst, you hold them up as if they were at their best.
Oh, that's just quite beautiful. Sister Linnell, you had this plaque. I'll never forget it. Do you still have that? Do you? I love that. Tell us what that says. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? What a thing for us to remember. Forbearing one another, being patient with another. Okay, message people. We're not where we used to be. God's taken us, but this is what he's telling us to be. We need this message. Yes, Brother Ron. Yes, I will. People, Linnell, Sister Linnell has this beautiful plaque in her house that I've always loved. People need loving the most when they deserve it the least. Okay. That was right. When they deserve it the least. That's so profound and so scriptural and so good for us all. Yeah. Somebody can make me that plaque. And I'll put it on my bathroom mirror where every morning I look at it and say, okay, good reminders. Why don't you make 40 plaques or 40 pieces of paper and hand that out? Would somebody do that? Nate will do it. He needs another thing to do. Lenore will do it. There you go. Oh, Marianne can write it, and Lenora, it's a team effort. I love that. Okay, there's your assignment. So we'll all take this home, and we'll put copies on our bathroom mirror when we look at our mug in the morning. The first thing we say is, okay, Lord, thank you. That would be wonderful. Okay. There's endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the what? Describe that in the message of the hour where everybody's at now. Isn't that sort of sad? There's not an either one. There's not a unity of the Spirit, and there's a bond, not a bond of peace. There's got to be a lot of death to self to get there, doesn't it? So, all right, you guys, let's look at it this way. This is the season when we're becoming the Word and the Word becoming us. Well, not necessarily those words. What word are we going to choose to become?
Is.
That means, is this part of that word? Do you see what we do? Oh, I'll choose the lofty revelation of the seventh seal. I'll choose the lofty revelation and we'll talk about Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and God is coming in flesh and he's coming in my flesh. But oh, there's unity. Oh, long suffering. Oh, forbearing. Oh, is that part of the word too? See what our minds do? Do you see how we pick and choose without even meaning to pick and choose? Yeah. Okay, that is exactly what he's trying to say us. Okay. Stay in the unity, stay in the oneness of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Then he teaches them that God is still working in them by using his vessels of ministry to bring them to the unity of the faith, the unity of the revelation. There's one revelation of Jesus Christ, and it is his own revelation that he gives out. It is that revelation that will bring us unto the knowledge of the Son of God. God in morpha, God in flesh. God in an unfinished man, think of that. God in a finished man, bringing us to the place. Okay, verse 13, would you all open? Let's read that together. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man
unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay. I look at this, and I look at Paul's writing, and I look at what he's writing to these people, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul likens the Spirit addressing people, number one, as a nurse that cherishes her children gently, and as a father that charges. And you see both aspects of the Spirit of God. Sometimes he has to get sort of tough. Sometimes he did with the prophet, didn't he? He wasn't always gentle with him. You know, why are you making this like, what do you call that, a sideshow? Or is that the words? You know, and you look at all of those men that were around the prophet. I don't care who you would talk to. And they would, every one of them would say, I never saw a more dedicated, godly, sincere man in my life. And here the angel of the Lord, you're making this a sideshow. Well, why did you do that? You made a mistake. He is not always gentle and is still the Spirit of God. So we have to gird ourselves to take both sides. If I need a good swift kick in the rear end and say, Hoffman, shape up. You're not acting like a son of God. Then, yes, Father, I'll take it. But here, it's like that nurse that cherishes her children. Okay, kids, I'm going to gently remind you, hey, you guys aren't acting the way you should be. Yes, you're mature. Yes, you've come a long ways, but can you please remember, you're not there yet. So you need to be with each other, helpful, right? You could always reduce it down to that, couldn't you? How can I be helpful? How can I edify each of you? How can we do that? So I think that'd be a wonderful thing. I remember to the ministers down south in South America, how can we help each other? Yeah. Instead of challenge one another or get mad at one another, how can we help each other? How can we, again, I think it was Wesley's rule, I want to help whoever I can, however I can, whenever I can, by any means that I can. What a way to live, right?
Amen.
Okay, so here we are, just the first part of the message. We don't all have the fullness of Christ, but he's bringing it to us. And what we have right now, to be all honest with you, every single one of us, what do we have? Stephen, I have some of him and some of me. True? You didn't like that, did you? Is that right, Derek? Yeah. Yeah. So that's where we're at, and that's why we need to be helpful instead of critical. That's why we need to be long-suffering for a bit, because I have some of me and some of him. And we have to remember.
Some days more of me.
Yeah, really? Go back to bed, would you? You know, get up on the other side. Yeah. That's the human life. We're a mixture of us. And it's just like I said earlier, when it comes to having every word right, 100%, no word off, how are we going to get there? Grace. Yeah. It's the only way. If he doesn't do it, I have no hope. No. Mm-hmm. So we all have to remember that for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's where we need grace for one another and to have that attitude of help and to go back to verses 2 and 3 and see what he was writing to mature Christians. And that's to us. That's to the body of Christ. Okay? As long as we've got the mixture, he's still in a work. So let's live in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearance with each other. And I believe truly that's what is pleasing to the Lord, right?
So we know what the prophet said. Yeah, so, okay. From the spoken word is the original seed. So believers of the word and spirit must be one. You get it? And the congregation said, amen! And we would all say, amen! And then the spirit would come and say, you and me must be one. Oh. Well, that means I got to do some work, son, daughter. Oh, ouch. It goes from amen to ouch real quick, doesn't it? Believers in the Word and the Spirit are absolutely one. Okay, here's the next phrase that he says. You don't do your own thinking. Okay. Laura, when's the last time you didn't do any of your own thinking? Debbie, did you do your own thinking today? So how am I going to get there? You don't do your own thinking. You don't use your own mind. Do you see how we take things and just say amen and shout and get in the spirit of a meeting and don't have a clue what we're saying even amen to? And this is the things that we have to slow down, go back and take a good look in the mirror of the gospel and look at myself in honesty. Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. None of us can. But that's what he says. You don't do your own thinking. You don't use your own mind. And then he says, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, sure would be. The mind that was in Christ is in you. The mind is in Christ, and you'll take the word just like he did, because he is the word, and the mind of Christ in you. You are the word. You are the word. God's living word, representatives of him here on earth. That's right, the continuing work. Now, that's true. That's what we've been focusing on. God wants you, and he had to put you in Boston Scientific, and he had to put you in, I can never remember the name of your company. What's it called? Marco. Yeah, why can't I remember that? Marco. And the thingies on the wall that tell the doctors what to do. And Derek in the finance company. And Ron had to go make cabinets to be a light for Jesus. Yep. And the mind of Christ is in you. You are the Word. You're God's living representatives of him here on earth. That's right. Continuing the work, the church should be that way. And when so, the Bible is manifested again, like in the early days of the disciples, just like the disciple, the Bible is living again in you. So you still got your Bibles open? Go to 15 and 16. Here is for us, and this is a continuation of instructions to the Ephesians. Let's read it out loud, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure. Okay, who's going to tell me about that effectual working? Josh, who's that effectual? Who's doing that? What is that effectual working? But who's working in you to grow you into the head, Brother Derek? But from who? It's all him. There you go. We are his workmanship. Isn't that what the scripture says? Okay. Yes. Okay, I won't interrupt this time, so let's read 16 altogether. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making an increase of the body unto the... Do you know, isn't it beautiful how Paul is so inclusive of everybody? He doesn't leave one person out till we all come. Wasn't that beautiful? Verse 13, till we all come. Look at verse 16. According to the effectual working in the measure of how many parts? Every part. Okay? Each seed of his is precious. Right? Yeah. He loves you. Okay. That's as far as I get today. But that's enough for one day. That's enough. That's a good reminder. Please, when you run across people, be long-suffering, be forbearing, be gentle. How can I help you, brother? How can I help you, sister? Okay? Remember, because this is a life, you know. What Jesus says in, unto the merciful, I will show myself merciful. When you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, have mercy on me, I need your help, and then you don't extend it and walk about with a condemning, judgmental attitude, that's how God will meet you someday. With what judgment you render is what judgment you will be met with. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah. So let's learn that life. You know, I love Brother Billy Paul's testimony about his dad when he made this incredible statement about my daddy. He says you couldn't ever tell his friends from his enemies. What a way to live. Huh? What one of us could say that? But how many of us would like to say that about us? Yeah, there we go. He sees the desire of our hearts. Okay. Servers, let's get ready and change the order of the service. Continue on with...